Everything that we said until now, and everything that we're going to speak about, are halachos kvuos. They're absolute halacha, and it has nothing to do with musar, midas tayvos, avada. A ben Torah is expected to do even better. But we're talking here about that which is the absolute minimum halacha, not only for b'nai Torah, but even for the most liberal of people who want to still consider themselves shomrei Torah mitzvahs. These halachas are for everyone. These are the halachas that we learn straight from the Chumash, as we will see, according to the way the Chachmei HaTalmud, the Chazal, have taught us, upon whom all the foundations of our Torah rely. And just like Chazal explained to us what are the lametes melachas, so they explained to us the halachas of arayis and avizarayu, the gili arayis, and the subcategories of gili arayis, and the halachas of the other isurim, which we'll soon speak about, which are not mamish gili arayis, not even avizarayu the gili arayis, but nevertheless, they are dvorim asurim, and these halachas have been explained to us clearly, berachol bitcha haktana by Chazal. So we spoke about the lav of loy sikrevi. Do not come close, which includes all types of closeness that are created between a person and a woman, a man and a woman who's an erva on him, who's also from any one of the list of gilei arayis, and that even dibur, which can create kurva, is also. Now, every one of you has heard the term shomer negiya. It's not a term that B'nai Torah are mishtamish with, but you've heard it. It's very, in my days, I never heard it. When I was your age, there was no such term. But today, it's a very popular term, and it's important for you to understand what that term, what the connotation of that term is, and what is wrong with it. Many times you'll hear from a young man or a young woman, I am shomer negiya. Or sometimes they'll say, I'm not shomer negiya. I don't restrain myself from physical contact. And what seems to be understood, what is implied, is as follows. A person who shomer negiya is machmer on himself. Kodosh ye'omele. Very good thing. This is my minig. My minig is, I'm shomer negiya. Someone who doesn't do so is also beseder. It's not my minig. I'm not machmer on gibrox, and I also am not shomer negiya. They made it like restraining from drinking cholov stam. You know that the Gemara forbids explicitly, absolutely, to drink milk which was not supervised by a Jew, which was milked by a goy, or has left the sight of a Jew and been in the hands of goyim, because of the fear that perhaps the goyim mix in non-kosher milk, like the milk of a chazir. It's not our subject. I know of a story in Maisa Shehoya that a farmer was carrying down a cistern of milk on a very hot day, and he was asked by Choshev Yungalai, isn't he afraid that it will spoil? It was an open vat. He said, no, we mix in a little bit of pig's milk and it never spoils. That stops it from spoiling. So it was a chashash in the time of the Gemara. There are poskim who say that that's only if the farmer has in his herd behemos tmeos. If he only has a herd of behemos tahiros, of cows, you're not mechuyev to be chashish. However, the minig is lechumre, that we don't drink the milk even if the farmer has no behemoth tmeos in his herd. But the G'dayle HaPoskim of our time, Uberoshon Rav Moshe Feinstein Zecha Tzadik Levracha, found a heter to drink the milk from the big companies. Because they said that since the big companies would suffer such a great loss if it was known that they were mixing in anything but cow's milk, would suffer a loss of millions of dollars. So that fear creates a chazaka, an umdene, that something that we can be positive of, that they didn't mix in milk, which was from a behema tmeya. And therefore, that umdene is as good as Adam that watched the milking and the processing. And therefore, you're allowed to drink the milk from the large companies, not from private farmers, Goyisha farmers, but from the large companies. Now, this heter was not muskim by all the Gdoile Apoiskim of that door. And even Rav Moshe, who was the Roish Hamamtzim of this heter, said that it's better to be machmir. I know for a fact that he certainly was machmir. And so therefore, by Chol of Yisrael, it's possible to say that someone who's machmir and drinks only Chol of Yisrael and refuses to drink Chol of Stam is doing a very good thing. Kodosh Yomam. And someone who chooses not to be machmir and drinks regular milk from the major companies is also a good thing. He's not doing anything wrong. It would be better to be machmir. And this is exactly how many people have made the concept of what they call Shomer Negir. And that is absolutely a spiel and a joke. Because you cannot compare Chol of Yisrael and Shomer Negir. Because there, a person who wants to be machmir is doing a very good thing, and a person who's meikel is taka a good thing. But here, the person who's not Shomer Negir is as if he ate nevelas and trefas, or was Mechalel Shabbos, and in some ways is much worse, because on Chilul Shabbos and on Achilas Treifis, Chazal did not say Yehorek V'al Yavach. But on Avizarayu D'Gilei Arayis, they did say Yehorek V'al Yavach. On all these surim that we learn out from Loisikrevu, don't come close to Gilei Arayis. They said, Yehorek V'al Yavach. And now you understand why it was necessary for me to begin this talk last week with the Iser of Nida and Gilei Arayis Mamish, so that we could come to understand the halachas of Avizarayu. And even though for Bnei Torah it's totally unnecessary to discuss matters like Gilei Arayis, but nevertheless, in order to understand the Avizarayu, you have to understand the Shairish from what the secondary Yisurim come from, which are connected to Gilei Arayis, and that's why it was necessary for us to specify those halachas. If you'll open up the Chumash to Parshas Achrei Mois, Perek Yud Ches. I assume that you really don't need the Chumash because you all know it probably Baal Peh, like you know the rest of the Chumash Baal Peh. But for those few who maybe don't know it Baal Peh, so we'll look inside and we'll see the Parsha of Arayis. The entire Parsha Yud Ches until the end of Parsha Achrei Mois is the Parsha of Arayis. And later on, in the end of Parshas Kedoshim, from Pasik Perik Chaf, Pasik Yud, till the end of the Parsha is a review of this Parsha with the entire list, except that in Parshas Achrei Mois, the Torah only tells us what Kores wants for, it says, whoever does any one of these things is Chayiv Kodesh. In Parshas Kedoshim, when the Torah lists the Arayis again, it lists the punishment for each one, because some of them are Chayiv Kodesh if there are no Edom and Hasroah, but if there's Edom and Hasroah, there's Mises Bezdin as well. Like, for example, for taking a daughter-in-law, this Skila, Kalosa is Skila, and for a chamoisai, for his mother-in-law, Yisreifa, for Eishes Ish, Yischenek, right? Mishkav Zachar is Skila. So there the Torah explicitly says the punishment for each and every one. And both of these parshias, in Achrei Mois, there's a special Hagdama which we're going to soon read. We're going to read it now. And in both in Achrei Mois and in Kedoshim, there's a a siyum to the parsha as well, which we have to read. And so here the Torah says in Perek Yud Ches, we're going to look at Rashi too. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe leimar, daber el bnei Yisrael v'yomarta aleihem. Speak to bnei Yisrael and say to them, Ani Hashem Elokeich, I am Hashem your God. Kemasei Eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem bo lo yisasu. Like the deeds of the land of Mitzrayim where you live, you must not do. You lived in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was a very immoral place. That's why it's referred to in Sefer Bereishis as Ervas Ha'oretz. It was a place of Arayis. Uchemasei Eretz Kenan asher ani mevi eschem shama lo yisasu. And like the deeds of the land of Canaan where I bring you, you must not do. Do not go in their ways or their customs. Okay, let's see the Rashi. One or two Rashis. Ani Hashem Elokeichem on Pasuk Beis. What does it finish off here in this first Pasuk? I am Hashem your God. Ani hu she'amarti v'sinai anoichi Hashem Elokeichem. I am the one who said by Har Sinai, I am Hashem your God. V'kibaltim aleichem malchusi. And you accepted my malchus on you. Me'ato kablu gzeros. Now, you must accept my gzeros. This is what I want from you. You accepted. You promised to follow my instructions, my mitzvahs. This is what I want from you. Dovar acher, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Golui v'yadua lefonov. It was revealed and known before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shesayfon lenatek be'arayis b'mei Ezra, that the end would be that the Jewish people would tear loose in Arayis in the days of Ezra. Lefichach, therefore, in advance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, bo aleihem, d'gzeira Hashem, came to them with a decree, and he said, Ani Hashem elekeichem, I am Hashem your God. The umi geizer aleichem. You should know who's decreeing on you. You should know who made these laws. Dayon lehi pora, a judge who can punish. Venemon leshalem socha, and trustworthy to give reward for those that obey. Now, what happened in the days of Ezra? It is told in Sefer Ezra that when Ezra lived at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, he went back to Eretz Yisrael, and the matzav of Haruchni in Eretz Yisrael was very bad, and there were 300 men who had married non-Jewish women. And there was a whole asifa, and he made a cherem, and all these men separated from their non-Jewish wives. That is the story Bimei Ezra. So because of that, Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came in advance. He knew that this was going to happen, so therefore he says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm warning you. So what would Rebbe have said had he lived till our times? To a time where Rav Minyan and Rav Binyan of Klal Yisrael have either intermarried or at least have stopped keeping Taharas HaMishpacha, which is Gilui Arayis Mamish. If the woman doesn't go to the mikveh when she's supposed to, it's Gilui Arayis Mamish. And when those who do keep Taharas HaMishpacha, some of them, some percentage is also Nichshal in some of the Avizarayu that we spoke about, the subcategories, or the other Isurim that we're going to speak about, and the Yetzer Hara has entered even the camp of Bnei Torah to entice many of us to be over at least on the Avizarayu or the other Isurim, which will be clarified. So what would Rebbe have said then? If Rashi says, Rebbe says that the Torah gave this warning in advance because of the 300 men who married non-Jewish women, what would Rebbe have said in our time? Now, the Rashi on Kemasei Eretz Mitzrayim, Pasuk Gimel, Don't do like the deeds of Mitzrayim. Don't do like the deeds of Canaan. Magid, this teaches us. Shema'aseihem shel Mitzriim v'shel Kananim mekul kolim nikol ha'umais. That the deeds of the Mitzriim and the Kananim were worse than all the other nations. Therefore the Torah says, don't do like Mitzrayim and don't do like Canaan. So the Kli Yakar asks Akasha. You know that if the Torah wants to tell us in Iser, the Torah tells us the biggest chiddush, not the smallest chiddush. So if the Mitzriim and the Canaanim were the worst, then the Torah says, should have said, don't do like the Moabim, or the Ammonim, or the Adonim. Why? If that's the pshat, the reason the Torah told us Mas Eretz Mitzrayim and Mas Eretz Canaan is because the Mekul Kolim and Akil, they're the worst. Tell us about the better ones, because the better ones weren't good either. They were also doing all the Yisurim. And so I had the schus to tell the following teretz to a number of Gedolim, and they liked it, and I'm going to tell you what I think the answer is. In general, when the Torah gives us an Isur, the Torah doesn't need to give us a special Hakdama like we have here. For whom is this Hakdama? Who needs this Hakdama? Who needs to be so strongly forewarned in advance? Why can't the Torah just start from the list, which is in Pasuk Hey, Ish, Ish, Al Kol She'er, in Pasuk Vav, Ish, Ish, Al Kol She'er, B'Sarai, Lo Sikrim, U'Legal, Lo Elva, don't do Arayis, not with this one, not with this one, not with this one. Why isn't that enough? And say that it's Chayiv Kares, that should be enough. And the answer is, you know what it means, Mikul Kolim, Yosem, and Akoel? I mean, they all the ancient nations were shtufe zima and were totally immersed in all the immoral practices. So in what way were the Mitzriim and the Canaanim worse? The Rambam says, what does it mean, kimasei eretz Mitzrayim? Ish noisei ish, v'isha noisei isha. Does this have a familiar ring? In 2010, I think this has a familiar ring. A man married a man, and a woman married a woman. And the idea here is as follows. There was absolutely no shame or conscience whatsoever. It was a shita. It was a shita. I'm not a dirty, immoral individual. I'm a bal shita. We hold that this is the right thing to do. It's a shita. And therefore, they did it bipumbi, in total public, belishum busha, with no busha whatsoever. And they say that anybody who doesn't do like they do is old-fashioned, isn't cool, subscribes to ancient taboos, and memela, the better ones, they knew that it wasn't so nice, but they did it anyway. Like it was 50, 60 years ago, where there was plenty of arayas going on, in private. People didn't talk about it. People didn't brag about it. They didn't make parades about it, but they did it. It wasn't as common as now, because when you do it openly, then it spreads to everybody. But there was plenty of it going on. The universities were always immoral. But in those days, there was no such thing as dormitories that were co-ed. And there were rules and regulations. But not anymore. Today, there's no shame. It's a policy. A friend of mine who's a teacher in university, a professor in university, says that the signs in the university encourage Mishkav Zohar, they encourage incest, encourage, and the government gives money for these programs. So it's a shita. Where there's a shita, so a Jew's conscience becomes somewhat corrupted. Because after all, everyone's saying it's okay in a country where everyone knows that it's not the right thing to do, but they do it anyway. So a Yid who has a conscience says, I'm not going to do it. But in a place, the Mekul Kolim and Akoil, that's what Rashi perhaps means. That's why you need the special Akdama, because you lived in Canaan, you lived in Mitzrayim and you're going to Canaan, and there the Mekul Kolim and Akoil means they have no busha whatsoever. They've made a shita out of it. And where there's a shita, so the conscience is somewhat corrupted and is not functioning properly. And therefore, you need this special hakdama. So you know, very well that the atmosphere in which we live is exactly this way. There isn't the slightest busha for the vast majority of the secular society for anything. Their greatest priority in life is to fulfill their most animalistic lusts. And whoever doesn't agree with them is considered a meshugana. Whoever would dare to speak out against them can be sued for defaming them. Is politically incorrect, and the Bali Mishkav Zacha make a parade every year, the Gay Pride Parade, to which 500,000 people go to watch it here in our hometown of Toronto. 500,000 people. I have said many times that it would seem to me proper that the Tzibur of Bnei Torah should make a fast day on that day. Because on that day there is a Milchemes Trufa, an open war against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if that's the case, it's not so shocking if even some of the best among us have been influenced from the Tumah of the environment, because our conscience is somewhat corrupted and slightly out of order. In the Deir HaMabul, you know that Rashi brings that afilu behema chaya va'oif niskokin l'she'enon minon, that even the animals were crossbreeding. So Rabbel Yelapian asks the obvious kasha. Animals have no pira. They live by instinct. So no matter how bad the generation was, how could it come to be that the animals should crossbreed? And he answers it with a story from Lumja. When he lived in Lumja, there was a hospital, Yoshon Noishon, a very, very old hospital that even the Zkenim of the city did not remember when it had been built. And it had very thick wooden walls. And it was discovered that the patients that came to stay in that hospital left with diseases that they did not enter with. So they brought professorin from Varsha, and they said that the germs are so deeply embedded in the walls of the hospital that there's no way possible to clean it, and the hospital must be torn down. So they tore down the hospital, Ad HaYesoi, and they carried the wood outside the city, and they burnt it. So he says that is what happened in the Deir HaMabul. In the Deir HaMabul, the Luft, the air, the very atmosphere was so mekulkel, was so defiled with the Tumah of that time, which the main sin was Arayis, that it even spilled over into the animals. Not because of Bechira. It was the Luft, the atmosphere was mekulkel. And that's exactly what is happening today. You should know that Gemara says that the Ribbono Shel Olam did not bring the Mabul until they started writing marriage contracts between two men. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. So when we look around at our wonderful Western society, which has many pluses, but you should know that we are living in the Deir HaMabul. This is a Dor HaMabul. Anything that is described about the Dor HaMabul, we have here today. And so just as the air was mekulkul, the atmosphere was polluted in the time of the Mabul, our atmosphere has been polluted. And so, therefore you can find that even a bochur or a girl that comes from a mishpocha chashuva and learns in a very choshuva yeshiva can be soivel from the yetzer hara for arayis or for evil thoughts, which we'll speak about, because this kilkul, this tumah, can enter through the cracks. You can lock all the windows and even put on storm windows, but the tumah will enter through the cracks. And that is the reason why, l'davoneinu, very sadly, we feel that there is no choice but to speak berachel bitcha aktana, as we have spoken. As much as it's improper, and even though the Chofetz Chaim said, as we said last week, that even speaking about this is mazik, but you have to know that in the entire city of Radin, there wasn't even one sign that wasn't tzniustik. Everyone went in the street completely dressed. There wasn't one magazine available. And so what was proper in the Chofetz Chaim's time, which would be the lachatchila, will not work for us. And therefore we address ourselves, not only to the Bnei Torah that are sitting here tonight, but these words are spoken for anyone who calls himself B'Shem Yisroel. Because this is not a Musa Drosha, or a Drosha of Chasidus, with Chumris and Hanhogas Toivois, but we speak tonight, Dvorim Hashovim L'chol Nefesh. Things that are absolutely Shuras Adin, the law, the line of the law, that you cannot budge from them, lintois yamin usmail, to the right or the left. And whoever wants to be considered a elachayid is mechuyev to keep these things bediyuk. True, Bnei Torah should be misnahig even on a higher madrega of tznius, but that's not our goal tonight. And halavai that every one of us should keep lechol hapachas to what is being said here tonight. And now we're going to discuss the other Isurim that have not yet been discussed before. We already said that the Iker Isur of Gilui Arayis is relations mamish. And all types of closeness, whether with physical contact, touching, or with intimate speech, or to create a relationship, is Aviz Araya de Gili Arayis, and that is the halacha of Yehoreg V'Aliyav. And those Isurim are done with the cooperation of both the man and the woman. But there are other Isurim that are done by one individual alone, by the man alone, or by the woman alone, and therefore they do not fall under the category, not of Gili Arayis, and not of Avizarayu de Gili Arayis. And the din is not Yehoreg V'al Yavar on such things. But nevertheless, these Isurim are Isurim de Araisa, exceptionally stringent. And we refer now to the following Isurim, which we will discuss one by one. Histaklus Banoshim, staring at women, or for a woman to stare at a man. Hirhurei Znus, thinking about Znus. Reading or seeing Divrei Cheshek, things which arouse passion and Yetzer Hara. Media, Hitzoas Zera Levatola. Speaking or listening to nivul peh, to improper dirty language, those places that are called hangouts, the isur of yichud, being alone with an elva, non-Jewish music, Zemer Yevoni, and the abomination that is called Mishkav Zachar, homosexuality. And we want to speak at length about the first two before we approach the other Isurim. And they are thoughts of Znus and looking at women. We already said that in all eras, not only ours, teenagers and young people tend to be nichshal in the iser of improper thoughts, to the point where the Chafetz Chaim felt it necessary in Raden to tell his 16-year-old son, Reb Aryeh Leib, to be mazir him, to forewarn him about hirhurim, about evil thoughts. And we also mentioned just before that in all of Raden there wasn't one nasty billboard or any magazines, but that this is human nature, because at this young age, it's natural for these temptations to be aroused in young people. We call it hormones. But we have to know that the Nisayon was once much, much smaller than it is today. Because today we see things that arouse us constantly, wherever we turn, b'chol eiver u'pino. And so it's very difficult to keep these matters out of our mind. Now, Be'ezras Hashem, we're not going to get to it tonight, but next time I'm going to speak about some words of encouragement and to speak about the great schar that awaits those that put in all their koiches to be nizer in these things, and that a person should not fall chas v'shalom into yiyush if he is plagued by these things, but we have to go keseda. If you'll turn to Parshas Kisisa, you'll see that the Torah in this Chumash, I'll make it easy for you, it's in Kisisa, Perek Chof Gimel, Kisetze, Perek Chof Gimel, Pasik Yud. It's on page 1054 in here. There's a special azhara in the Torah here against hirhurim, hirhurei znus. Kiseite machane aloivecha. When you go out in an army camp against your enemies in wartime, v'nishmarta mikol davora, you should guard yourself from every evil thing. When there'll be among you a man, who will not be pure, mikre loyla, because something happened to him at night, which means that in his sleep he had a flow of zera, which can happen to anyone. So v'yotzo el mechutz lamachane, he should go outside the camp. Lo yavo el teich hamachane, he cannot come into the camp. And this is talking about, Rashi says, which camp? This is, he's also to go in the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, in the Chatzar HaMishkan, and he's even also to enter the Machane Leviyah. Most Tmeim are only forbidden to go into the Machane Shechina, but the Balkeri is the one who has the Mikre Laila, the happening at night, is forbidden to enter even the Machane Leviyah, because this is a Tumah Chamura. Hayotzim in aguf, it comes out of the body, it's considered a tumah chamura. V'hoyolifnois erev, yachatz b'mayim, towards evening, should go to the mikveh, wash himself in water, that's the Torah's expression for going to the mikveh. U'chavoy ha-shemesh, and when the sun comes down, yavoy el teich ha-machne, he can once again go to the machne. V'yoti elecho, michutz la-machne, v'yotzos ha-shomachutz. You should have a place outside the machne, where you can go outside, means to the bathroom. They didn't go to the bathroom inside the Machne Yisrael. You should have a peg or a shovel besides your other kelim. So when you go outside, when you sit outside to go to the bathroom, You should dig with it and cover over what comes out of you. Ki Hashem Elokecha mishaleich bekerev machanech. Because Hashem, your God, the Ribbono Shel Olam, walks inside your camp, lehatzilcha veloseis oivecha lefanecha, to save you and to put your enemies before you, v'haya machanecha kadosh, and your camp shall be holy. V'lo yireh v'cha ervas davon, and Hashem should not see in you any matter of immorality, because then v'shav me'acharecha, he'll turn around from behind you, and he will desert you. Now, v'ezrat Hashem, we will come back to this last pasuk. So what do Chazal say on this pasuk, on pasuk Yud? That when you go out, v'nishmarto mikel davar ra, they say, shelo yahar her odom b'ayim, v'yavoy lidei tumo b'alay. Because we understand from the connection of pasuk Yud to pasuk Yud Aleph, that the thing, that the mikre laila is a result of him not having guarded himself, mikel davar ra. So Chazal say, it means, shelo yahar her odom b'ayim, that a person should not have hirhurim in the daytime. He should not allow his mind to dwell on thoughts of znus in the daytime, dirty thoughts, because then he'll come lidei tumah b'alayla. So there is a specific law in the Torah to allow yourself. Now we'll talk later be'ezras Hashem about those people who are plagued with this. I'm sure everyone may know someone. Hopefully it's not so many, but there are a lot of people that are plagued by it because it can't be helped, because you see it everywhere. Be'ezras Hashem, we will talk about that. But first we have no choice but to establish what the Yisurim are, and then we can talk about how to deal with them. This pasuk was said at the time of war. You know, at the time of war, the morale is very low, because people are, they don't know if they're going to live, they're going to die. And it's much easier in a time of somewhat depression and stress to be nichshel in hirhurim. Even there, the Torah commands us that we have to be nizhar from hirhurim. The pasuk says in Mishlei, Te'avas Hashem machshavo yisra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates, it's abominable to him, when people have evil thoughts. It's not like another Aveira. If I think that I'm going to be Mechalel Shabbos, so it's not right to think that you're going to do an Aveira, but if you don't come to do the Aveira, so the thought itself is not a specific Iser. But here, the thought itself is a separate Iser. Besides the fact that you thought you might do an Aveira, but just thinking about it itself is an Iser. Hirhurim mitunafim, dirty thoughts, are themselves an aveira. The neshama is a chelek elakamima. Whatever that means, the neshama is connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever that means, it's way above my head. And we know, we say, well, before we put on tefillin in the morning, that we say, v'al harosh, neged hamaya, I put the tefillin on my head, opposite my brain, it's over here, shehaneshama shebemoichi, that the neshama, which is in my brain, with all the rest of my kaiches, should be meshubet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that the neshama is centered in the brain, because the neshama and the intellect of a person are one. Your intellect is a result of your neshama, your ability to think, to reason, to ration, and to be makir. Ruchnius is all, that's part of your brain. That's part of the neshama is in your brain. Even though the Gemara says the neshama fills the whole body, but obviously the center of the neshama is in the brain. And so, what a tinufit is, what a, defilement it is to the neshama, if we bring into its dwelling place machshavos me'usos, ugly, dirty thoughts. And so we ask in the bracha of Hamapil before we go to sleep at night? We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'yal yivahaluni rayonai v'chalam esroim v'hirhurim royim. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to prevent us when we're lying on our beds. During the day, we're busy, our minds are busy. But at night, before we fall asleep, our minds can wander. So Chazal put in the bracha of Hamapil a special bakasha to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect us from Hirhurim Roy. And the Gemara says in Masechta Yuma, Hirhurei Aveira, Koshim Me Aveira. Thinking about the Aveira of Znus is even worse than doing it. Now, what way is it worse? Avada, the actual Znus is worse than the Aveira of thinking. But Rashi says, it's worse because it's a constant drain. It weakens a person. It's a drain and an obsession. And especially for a bacha where there's no permissible outlet until marriage, it's a constant drain. After the war of Midian in Parshas Matos, the captains of the troops came to Moshe Rabbeinu and brought a gift for the Ohel Moed, for the Mishkan. What was the reason for the gift? They said, L'chaper al nafshaseinu, to atone for us. What did they feel they needed an atonement for? Because in the war, they captured the Midianite girls, and they were afraid that perhaps they had entertained some evil thoughts in the process, and therefore they felt that they needed to bring a korban to be mechaper for themselves. And you know that one of the things that korban oila was mechaper for was hirhurei haleg. Now we're going to speak about histaklus banoshim. Now that we have explained the iser of hirhur, it's not difficult at all to understand the iser of histaklus, of looking where we shouldn't look, because histaklus brings to hirhurim. Not always was the street full of pritzus like it is today. When I was young, the women did not go in the street as they go today. I do not say that they all went bitznius, but such a hefkerus, with no restraint whatsoever, we did not see. And therefore, in our days, we have become accustomed. It's hardly shocking to us when we see people that are not dressed, hardly dressed, signs, billboards, etc. And sometimes we may slip and take a look deliberately. It's very hard to resist. It's attracting. And you have to know that for sure is not mutar al pi adin whatsoever. There is no heter in the world to look deliberate. It is true that we consider ourselves to some extent anusim. Can't help it. You can't be a hermit, maybe. So you gotta go in the street. You gotta go to the store. You need to buy aspirin, you go to Shoppers Drug Mart. But if you look deliberately, there's no heter at all, there's nothing to talk about. It's a na'ayla al adas that it should be mutter to do such a thing. There is no heter whatsoever. The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva lists 24 things ha'ma'akfim es ha'tshuva. It comes from Chazal. And he breaks it up into different lists. There's some of the things that he says, it's not a pshat that you can't do tshuva for it. But the idea is that when you're used to doing these things, you don't think there's anything wrong, and you won't come to do tshuva. Umehen, and some of these 24, chamisha dvarim, there are five things, ha'oise oison, ein cheskoson lashuv mehen. The chances are that people won't do tshuva. Lefi shehem dvarim kalim, ve'ene roiv ha'odam. Because most people consider them, nah, it's no big deal, it's not important. V'nim tzachoyche, and he sins. V'hu yidme, but he imagines, she'ein zechei, that it's not a chei. V'eilu hein, and these are they. I'm reading you number gimel. Gimel, ha'mistakel be'arayis, if someone looks at arayis, mala al daitoi, he thinks, she'ein bekach klum, it's nothing. Shehu Aymer, because he says, V'chi ba'alti, did I have relations? Oy karavti etzla, did I come close to her? I just looked. V'hu eino yedeya, and he does not know. She'ri'iyas ho'einayim, that looking with the eyes, avoin godol, is a great sin. She'hi garemes legufon shel arayis, which can cause a person to come to actual arayis. She'nema, like it says, that love we will yet speak about, Be'ezras Hashem. On the matters of Arayis, you may not know it, but in Eben HaEzel, there's a special simon about the things we're talking about. And I'm going to read you two paragraphs from Eben HaEzel, Simon Chafal. Simin Chaf Aleph, Lehisrachek min ho arayas, to distance oneself from arayas. Sif Aleph, Tzorich Odom, this is the Mechaber, Tzorich Odom, Lehisrachek mehanoshim me'oid me'oid. A person must distance himself from women very, very much. The osur likreitz biyodov, and it's forbidden to snap his fingers to her, oy beraglav, or to do some motion with his foot to attract her attention, velirmais beinov, or to hint with his eyes, a wink, an innocent wink, leechod meho arayis, to one of the arayis, the osur lischoikima, it's forbidden to be playful with her, to be lightheaded with her, light, easy flowing, fun conversation, or to look at her beauty, to look, pretty girl, that's it, just to look, and even to smell the perfume which is on her. That's nice. Also is forbidden. The osur lehistakel banoshim she'ondos al haklisa. It's forbidden to look at women that are standing by the washing place. The women used to wash in the shallow part of the river. They used to wash their clothing. They didn't have washing machines. And so what they used to do is when they went into the water, they lifted up their garments a little bit. So the bottom of their legs was uncovered. The also lehistakel bebigdei tzivoinim shalisha, shehu makira. If there's a woman whom you know, and her pretty clothes are hanging on the clothesline, if you don't know her, so just pretty clothes won't cause a hearer. But if you know whose clothes they are, you're not allowed to look at the clothes. Afilo einam alaha, even when they're not on her, shema yoboi lahar herbo. Maybe he will come to think about her. Poga isha bashuk. If a person met up with a woman in the street, you're walking in the street, and a woman is walking along with you. Osur lahalech achreha. It's forbidden to walk behind her. Elorot, but he should run ahead. Umesalka, and move her to the side, means he should get, we're in a position where he's at least litzdodin, where she's either on his side, so he doesn't have to stare at her, or behind him, so that he shouldn't be staring at her the whole time. If there's a place where a person knows that there's an isha zayna living there, then you have to skirt around it, give a wide berth of dalaramas. V'hamistakia. And if one stares, afilu be'etzba ktana shel isha, even in the little finger of a woman, he just looks at her hand because she has pretty fingers. And his kavana was because he has pleasure, not because he was looking at her hand while she was counting out the money for the change. But he enjoyed looking at her hand because it's beautiful. It's as if he looked at the makam ha'erva. It's so strict, it's considered ke'ilu nistakel bebeis ha'toyra, the erva, shalom. The also the Shmoya Koel Erva, you're not allowed to hear the singing voice of a Koel Erva. Oileva Isara, to see her hair. If she's married. The Hamiskavin Le'echad Me'elo Advarim. And one who does one of these things, any one of these things deliberately. Makin Oisei Makas Mardus. So Bezdin would give him Malkis Derabonon. By the way, Malkis Derabonon can hurt as much as Malkis Deraisa. And these things are osur not only by arayis, but even by chay v'lavin, like a mamzeres or a nesina, are also osur. In halacha beis, it says that it's permissible to look at a woman to see if she is pleasant, because he wants to marry her. That's the heter for shiduchim, because it's actually an obligation to look and make sure that she's pleasing to you, because you're going to have to live with her for the rest of your life. But not to look in a way of znus, just to look. And on that it says in Sefer Iyoy, bris karati le'enai, I made a bris with my eyes. So how can I look at a besula if I made a covenant with my eyes to guard? This is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the Gemara in Bava Basra, an astounding Gemara in Bava Basra, and Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis. The Gemara here was speaking in Hilchas Cheskes Abatim about places where women wash clothing, so the Gemara brings the following drosh. Yeshaya Hanavi made a list of great milos that a person can aspire to, and one of them is the oitzem einov mereois bero. He closes his eyes from seeing evil. Who is that referring to? Omar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, "Ze she'ein mistakel banoshim b'shoh she'oim dois al hakis." That's the person that doesn't stare at the women when they're standing by the washing place by the river. Because as we mentioned, and this is the marker for the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch gets this halach. Break the Gemara Akasha. Hey Chidomi, how is this talking? How is this talking that this is considered a milsa da chasidusa not to look? Hey Chidomi, the Rashbam says, that the Pasuk praises him if he closes his eyes, which is mashma, that if he doesn't close his eyes, he's not a tzaddik, he's not a rasha. Here the pasuk saying, oh, he closes his eyes, he's a big tzaddik. Mashma, that if he doesn't, this is not a, he's not a tzaddik, but he's not a rasha. So the Gemara says, hey, chidami, ida ikadarko achrina, if there's another road, if he knows that the women stand there and they wash clothing there, and there's another road, so what do you go there for? Rasha, who? He's a Rasha. The Rasha for going there. Zokta Rashbam, Rasha, who? The Avo Pisha, it's a man. Even if he goes and closes his eyes. Even if he goes and closes his eyes, he's not a tzaddik, he's a Rasha. Why? He wasn't supposed to come close. But to distance himself from an Aveira, Dekai Malon in Chulin, because we have a established principle in Masechta Chulin, which we quoted last week, Harchek Min HaKiyur, keep far away from ugly things. So therefore, if there's a Dark Lachrina, you're not a tzaddik if you close your eyes. You're a rasha for going there. Something Gemara it's talking with. There's no dark achrina. There's no dark achrina. So Gemara says, if it's no dark achrina, he's an onus. He says, no. No. There is no other path. It's talking with there's no other path. And it's very difficult to close your eyes completely, but if he's forced himself to close his eyes, he's considered a tzaddik. But if there's a dark achrina, so then he's a rasha. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos on a pasuk, I think it's in Iyu, Yad li Yad lo yinokeh, hand to hand will not be considered clean or innocent. The Gemara says, Kol amaratze mois mi yodoy li yodo, kedei lehistakel bo, lo yinokeh midina shel gehenem. If a person counts out money, he's counting it out slowly, because he wants to get a good look at this lady who's taking the money. So, yad li yad, he's counting out the money from his hand to her hand, paying the storekeeper, pretty storekeeper. Lo yinokeh midina shel gehenem. There was a story. Rav Itzel Petterberger was from the G'dolei HaTalmidim of Rav Yisrael Salanter. And he lived in Slabodka for a period of time. Slabodka was a suburb of Kovne. And the Bachrim used to come to him in Elul to hear Shmuzin. Or maybe it was Faket, maybe he came to Kovne, maybe he lived in Kovne, and the Bachrim came from Slabodka to hear Shmuzin. So he told them they should stop coming. And they didn't stop, they went. He told them they should stop coming because they lose more by walking through the streets of Kovne than they gain from the Musa Shmuzin of Rav Itzel Petterberger. The Chofetz Chaim, during the First World War, took his yeshiva went into Golos because of the war front. They had to leave Radin. They went into the interior of Russia. And in one of the places, they didn't have their own Beis Medrash. So they were learning in a certain place, and there was a young lady who was draying around with short sleeves. In short sleeves. Well, short sleeves doesn't mean anything we're so used to. In short sleeves. Now, you know that the Chofetz Chaim worked on his dibur all his life. He had a silken tongue, and every word was measured and counted. And she kept coming in and out to do whatever she needed to do in that room where they were learning. And finally, he said to her, What are you draying around over here? You think we are angels? Let me go like this. One more story. Rav Elie Lapyan was a mashgiach. He was an official mashgiach, but he was the mashgiach rufni of Yeshiva's Kfar Sidim. And a Talmud came to him to ask him for a shush to go to a chassid. So he said to the Talmud, will there be pitzus there? So the Talmud said, yes, there will, but it doesn't disturb. So he said to the Talmud, this is written in one of the books. He said to the Talmud, in a very angry tone, he said, I am 80 years old and blind in one eye. And it bothers me. And you are a junge bacher. Mit zwei fleischige Augen. And you are a young man with two healthy fleshy eyes. And you tell me it doesn't disturb you? That's what's written in the Sefer. But I have the collection of the Shmuzin on tape from Rav Elie also. So on that tape where he said that story, the person who was misadded the tape says, at this point, Rav Elie said something else in this shmuz that he asked me not to publicize. And because I always listened to him, I took it out. I don't know what he said, but it must have been something pretty hard. And so we learned so far that even though I only covered half the material I hope to cover tonight, but we learned so far that there is an explicit Iser, both for Hirhurim and for Histaklus. There is no Heter. It's not Oila al Hadas. And Be'ezras Hashem, either next week or the following time, Be'ezras Hashem, we will speak about various Eitzes and words of encouragement, because we all need encouragement, because this Rabbosai, together with the Nisoyin of Emunah, which I've had the excuse to speak about in many different places, the Nisoyin of Yerhurim and Machshavos and Yetzer Hara for Arayis is the Nisoyin of our day. This is the Nisoyin that you are being tested with in a manner which your forefathers never knew. And so we have to rise to the challenge. And Be'ezras Hashem will speak about other Isurim, and we'll also speak about Eitzes and encouragement in the future sessions, Be'ezras Hashem. Thank you.